This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
انتطى ولا ليلنا أو تمادى في الظلام أو تعثر ركبنا وسط أرتال الركام إن تضاءل حلمنا أو تناثر في الزحام
انتطى ولا ليلنا تمادى في الظلام أو تعثر ركبنا.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, to this talk entitled "In the Footsteps of the Ahlul Bayt." بإذن الله تعالى, the manner of discussion, inshallah, or rather, would work as per the A to Z of the Ahlul Bayt, as opposed to talking about differences between Sunnis and Shia, as opposed to maybe spending too much of time on that matter. I thought it might be better, inshallah, that we speak about the A to Z of the Ahlul Bayt, everything to do with the Ahlul Bayt, inshallah. But before that, our brother, thanking him, Jazakumullahu Khairan, he mentioned Sheikh Bilal, Jayid. I don't know who that is, for verily I'm not a Sheikh, Jayid. What's your name, Sheikh?
Sadiq.
Sadiq, Jayid, Sadiq, subhanAllah. In the Ahlul Bayt you had someone by the name of Ja'far as-Sadiq. But nonetheless, getting back to the terminology Sheikh, then what's the definition of a Sheikh, Sadiq? What's a Sheikh? What do you think?
A learned person.
A learned person. So for example, someone who's maybe studied for 60 years, is teaching for 60 years, you go for Haram, you go with Ismail Davids, you go to the Haram of Makkah or Medina, you find those big chairs in the Haram there, and that's for a Sheikh, you know, somebody who's got the super knowledge, studied so many years, etc. That is a Sheikh. In reality, we are far from that. So we're not a Sheikh in the definition of great knowledge. What's the second definition of a Sheikh? Dukor, what's your name, Sheikh? Abdul Latif, what's the definition of a Sheikh? Huh? Huh? Someone? Hafiz? No. Anyone else?
Old man. Wise old man.
Wise old man. Jade, for example, you see Sheikh Farooq sitting at the back there, Jacobs. Jade, wise old man. So that person, you can call him a Sheikh, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, we're still young, inshallah. I've been 27 for a few years now. We stop there, mashallah. Hayyakum Allah. So we're not a Sheikh in that definition. What's the third definition of a Sheikh? Anyone? Doctor, third definition of a Sheikh. A rich man, Jayid. And that's why you have, for example, the oil Sheikh, Jayid, a rich man. And unfortunately, we're not rich in that department to Allah Musta'an. So we are only but students of knowledge, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Hayyakum Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The topic of discussion, the A to Z of the Ahlul Bayt. Who are the Ahlul Bayt? Who are the Ahlul Bayt? Anyone? The family of Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, generally we state the family of Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's our stance with regards to the Ahlul Bayt? Many a times we find, and this is sad unfortunately, that the only people who talk about Ahlul Bayt, only people who talk about family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are who? Are the Shia. Whereas we Sunnis, and majority of the Ahlul Bayt, they are all Sunni. We are the ones who are supposed to be speaking about them, talking about them, mentioning their virtue, etc., loving them the most. We are the ones who are supposed to be with them the most, as opposed to the Shia. But many a times, due to the Shia extreme, we fall into another extreme where we don't know much about the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't know much about his children. We don't speak much about Hassan and Hussein, etc. Sayyida Shabab Ahlul Jannah, this is a youth center. And so the leaders of the youth in paradise would be who? Would be Hassan and Hussein, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated. Our stance with regards to the Ahlul Bayt is that we love them, we respect them, we honor them, We align ourselves with them, we defend them where their honor has been denigrated, etc. Jayin. They were the ones who have the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was at Mount of Hira and he was approached by Jibreel, who did he run to? He ran to who? He ran to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. When it was the various battles, you know, those armies, one army on this side, the army of Islam, and the army of Kufr on the other side. And they would have a duel in the middle. We send out someone, you send out someone, and they fight in the middle, Jayid. Psychologically, if our man won, he killed off the enemy, we have a psychological advantage. Who would the Prophet send out? He would send people of his family. He was not there to start off a dynasty. He was not there to get wealth, etc. and keep his family behind. No, no, keep you safe. Rather, he sent Ali radiallahu ta'ala forward. He sends Hamza radiallahu ta'ala forward. He sends his family and he puts them in the line of danger. So, who are these people? What's our sons? We speak about them. We discuss their lives, inshallah. And we defend them where it requires defending. Because they were the ones who defended the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the early Muslims. Who? Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, first male to embrace Islam. First female. Who? Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. First slave was who? Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Zayd ibn Haritha. People would call him what? Why are people so fire, Jayid? Zayd ibn Haritha. He was what? People would call him Zayd ibn Muhammad. Zayd the son of Muhammad. And then Allah sent down revelation that, you know, Muhammad is not the father of any one of you, etc., etc. But people used to call him Zayd the son of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he would say, wallahi, joining ties with the Ahlul Bayt is more beloved to me than joining ties with my own family members. Why? Because they are those special ones. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and especially, I mean, this talk, etc., might have been chosen even before the events which occurred in the last week, last 2 weeks, etc. And so it only puts upon us a greater obligation and duty that we say, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, really. The biggest miser is the one who, when I mentioned that the person does not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. I remind you people about my family. I remind you people about my family. I remind you people in brackets about the rights, about the huquq, about the sharaf, etc. of my family. And the hadith reported by Imam Muslim. It's not some hadith, it's some strange hadith book out there, but rather famous hadith in Sahih Muslim. I remind you people about my family. Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle by the name of Al-Abbas. You all know famous companion, we call him Abdullah ibn Abbas. You all remember him? You all know him? Yes. His father was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father's name was Al-Abbas. So Umar said to Al-Abbas, wallahi, your Islam, the day you became a Muslim, was more beloved to me than my own father becoming a Muslim. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was happier the day that you became a Muslim. He was so happy that his uncle is now a Muslim. And so that's why I was happy with that too. Showing the close relationship between Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the family of the Ahlul Bayt. And whatever makes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pleased and happy, then that's what Umar was happy and pleased with. No doubt, Ya Mashaykh. With regards to the Ahlul Bayt, you have groups which have gone into extremes. On one side of the spectrum, you have the Shia, Jayid, who have taken the Ahlul Bayt as lords besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They made Ali radiallahu ta'ala as if he is a deity worthy to be worshipped. And they also state you have the 12 divinely appointed imams amongst the various sections and categories and factions of the Shia. From amongst them you have the 12 is majority of them on earth. At the moment, Jayid, the 12 is Iranians, etc. Ithna Ashariya, 12 divinely appointed imams, they are like the Anbiya, Jayid. Or for example, that these 12 imams, or whatever number they might be, they know the knowledge of the unseen. They have been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Visiting their grave is like better than going for hajj, etc. Many of them are better than the Anbiya. Example, Ja'far al-Sadiq, the sixth divinely appointed imam according to the Shia, he's on a higher level than, for example, Adam alayhi salam. For example, Dawood alayhi salam. We Ahlul Sunnah, what do we say? We say the Anbiya, they on that high level. After them comes, for example, the Sahaba, Tabi'in, etc. And the great scholars of Islam and the Awliya, etc. But no Wali can be on a higher level than a Nabi. Yes or no? Yes, that's what we say. Whereas with the Shia, yes, the 12 divinely appointed Imams, they can be above many of the Anbiya. There's a debate. Can they be above the 5, you know, famous Anbiya? Example, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Musa alayhi sallam, Isa alayhi sallam, Nuh alayhi sallam, Ibrahim alayhi sallam. There's a debate there. As for the other Prophets, definitely the Imam is on a higher level according to the Shia. So they went into extremes with the Ahlul Bayt. And on the other end, you had the who? The Nawasib, who hated the Ahlul Bayt. They had enmity against the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why were they chosen? Why we need to be not chosen? Everyone is equal, even them. There's no issue, nothing special about them. Until eventually, the man comes and kills Ali radiallahu ta'ala from the Khawarij, from the Nawasib. Kills Ali, son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he thinks he's doing it for the sake of Allah. He thinks that his action is Amr bin Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar. He thinks he's doing a good deed. Allah musta'an. I mean, if you're talking about the height of devil's deception, you kill the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the fourth Khalifa of Islam, and you think you're doing a good deed. And in some narrations, eventually they cut off his leg, etc. What does he say? Leave my tongue. Don't do anything to my tongue. Leave my tongue. Why? Abdurrahman ibn Muljam, his name was. Why leave your tongue? He says, I do not want to spend a moment that I'm not in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You just stabbed Ali radiallahu ta'ala at the time of Salatul Fajr, and you're talking like this? Devil's deception. So on one side you had the Shia who went into extremes, and on the other side you had the Nawasib, the Khawarij, etc., who went into extremes. Jayyid. Also, we want to take note that someone being from the Ahlul Bayt does not automatically guarantee the person Jannah will feel those or anything of the sort. No. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was on that mountain, what did he say? Ya Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, la uhni anka min Allahi shay'a. Oh my uncle, I will not be able to help you on your Yawm al-Qiyamah before Allah in any way. If you don't become Muslim, if you're not good, etc. Man bata'a bihi amaluhu lam yusri' bihi nasabu. Whoever his deeds don't take him forward, and who his father was, and who his grandfather was, and what race he might be, and where he comes from, is not going to help him in the least bit. Abu Lahab, uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does Allah say? Tabbat yada Abi Lahab. You what? With regards to Abu Talib, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his uncle, "Oh my uncle, just say the kalima, and I will intercede on your behalf on Yawm al-Qiyamah." But he did not die upon Islam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues, and he says, "Ya Safiya." Ammata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Safiya, the aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ughni anki min Allahi shay'a. I cannot help you before Allah in any way. Ya Fatima bint Muhammad. O Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad. Salini min mali ma shi'a. Ask me for whatever money you want, I'll give to you whatever you want. But I cannot help you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you do not become Muslim, and if you don't live your life in the right way. So it shows us that you could be from the Ahlul Bayt, and you could not necessarily end up into Jannah. You could end up somewhere else. So you have to obviously do your own deeds. You all know the famous incident where that female, she had stolen. And the people came to Usama, the son of Zayd. Zayd was who? The freed slave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They come, "Oh Usama, please talk to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Intercede on our behalf with regards to this female. She's from a high ranking tribe, you know, very rich female, etc., standing in society. But, you know, she stole something, etc. She was found guilty. How can we chop off her hands?" Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard about the matter, he went out in public and he gave a public address and he said, "Lo Fatima bint Muhammad salamat la qata'tu yadaha." If Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, even stole, then we would cut off her hand. And what you people are asking for, this is what destroyed the people before you. That when someone rich, someone high, etc. does something, they put it under the carpet. They let it go, don't make an issue about it. But when the poor, the downtrodden do the same, then they apply the rules, etc. Point is, young Shaykh, that he made no distinction with regards to the Ahlul Bayt and the rest of the people, if that person from the Ahlul Bayt is not on the right path. But obviously, if they are people of salah, if they are people of taqwa, etc., then this is nurun ala nur. The amount of respect we might give to somebody who is pious and taqwa and all of this, it's higher if this person is from the Ahlul Bayt. Fahimto? You understand? So this is nurun ala nur for such a person, inshaAllah. Jayyid. With that, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we begin. I don't know about time. You can stop me when you are tired, inshaAllah. Hayyakum Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A is for the Ahlul Bayt. We will take it A to Z, inshaAllah. A for Ahlul Bayt. A is also for Al-Muhammad. Sometimes you find you would say Al-Muhammad, or Ahlul Bayt, or Al-Bayt. Jayyid, Ahl and Al mean the same thing. In your durood you say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. What's Ali Muhammad? And upon the family of Muhammad. Every single one of you, in your tashahud, you send salawat upon the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe you knew it, maybe you didn't know it. Now you know it, inshaAllah. In every salah, in your tashahud, you send salawat upon the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Next question. Who is the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yes, we say family, but family is a rather large encompassing word. Majority of the scholars state that when we talk about Ahlul Bayt, etc., what it means is those people upon whom sadaqah was haram. Jayid zakah is also called sadaqah. Innama sadaqatu lil fuqara wal masakin. Allah calls zakah, sadaqah in the Quran. So those people that zakah, it's haram upon them. If you are from the Ahlul Bayt and you're poor, you can't eat of zakah. That's the general rule. You can't take zakah at all. That's the general rule. So then the question is, who are those people who cannot take zakah? Majority of the scholars state it is Banu Hashim. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father was who? Was who, Yama Shaykh? Abdullah. And his grandfather was who? Abdul Muttalib. And his great grandfather was Hashim. Jayid. And so that's why they are called the tribe of Banu Hashim, the people of Hashim. So Banu Hashim and everyone who came from Hashim, they are called the Ahlul Bayt. And also many of the scholars include Hashim's brother, whose name was Al-Muttalib. So the family of Muttalib also, Jayid, they include. Why? Because that tribe of Muttalib, this goes into a bit of history. You all know that in Mecca, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Banu Hashim, when they were boycotted for 3 years, you remember that? They were boycotted, nobody can marry them, nobody can feed them, nobody can do trade with them, etc. Boycotted for 3 years. Which tribe was boycotted? Banu Hashim. The Muslims and the non-Muslims from Banu Hashim were all boycotted. Jayid. And then the brother of Hashim, Muttalib, that tribe, they said, I mean, you people are our people. We will also join you in that boycott. And they were also boycotted. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the days of early days of Islam, Banu Muttalib and Hashim were always together, and that's why the scholars said, although the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't come from Banu Muttalib, we include Banu Muttalib in the Ahlul Bayt because he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam they're always together. And that's the opinion of majority of the scholars, that includes Yam Shaykh, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives, his children, his family, Ali radiallahu ta'ala, his family, the brothers of Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and their families, etc. All of them are from the Ahlul Bayt. That's the definition of majority of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Then you have the Shia definition. What's the Shia definition? It's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. It's Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hassan and Hussein. Jayid. And that's why some of you might have seen some pictures, etc. You know, they have this issue and this like sentimental matter with this hand. It's a palm. And then it has Prophet ﷺ's name written there, and then Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein, Jayin. Especially in the Indian subcontinent and other places, you know, certain places, Mazar, someone might have it in his house also. You know, it have a picture of a palm there, and it's got those names on it. Those five, they are the Ahlul Bayt. Anyone else? No, not from the Ahlul Bayt. Didn't the Prophet ﷺ have a daughter by the name of Ruqayyah? Yes or no? Yes, no, she's not from the Ahlul Bayt. And the other daughters also not from the Ahlul Bayt. Only these five are from the Ahlul Bayt. Check it. And then we have another interpretation of some scholars. They said, anyone who follows the Prophet ﷺ is from the Ahlul Bayt. Check it. Technically that's a bit of a too overstretching the limit, etc. We are all, inshallah, you know, followers of the Prophet ﷺ. But specific Ahlul Bayt, they are the ones upon whom zakat is haram. And who are they? We've already mentioned Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib. Walhamdulillah. Jayyid. A is also for what, ya Mashayikh? If we're talking about Ahlul Bayt, A is also for what? A is also for Ali. Jayyid, what's your name, Shaykh? Huh?
Aman.
Excellent. What does Aman mean?
Safety.
Safety. Security. Jayyid. Mumtaz. What does Ali mean? Ali. What does Ali mean, ya Mashayikh? The one who's high, the one who's esteemed, the lofty one. Jayyid, we say Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, the one who is most high. Ala al-maktab. Something is on the table. Ala al-maktab. Ala means on. Jayyid. Excellent. And so Ali ibn Abi Talib, Jayyid, Abu Talib was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, Ali and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were what? They were cousins. Excellent, Jayyid. Ali was the first male to embrace Islam. Jayyid, many of the scholars say he was the first male, even before Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Bakr was the first man. Ali was the first male. Technically, you might argue Ali was always a Muslim. Because he was a boy, Jayyid, he was always a Muslim. Jayyid, Mumtaz. Jayyid means good. Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he was born 10 years before the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, what's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's age when Ali was born? No crisis, mushkila. Jayyid, what was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's age when Ali was born? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 30, Jayyid, when Ali was born, because he got prophethood when he was 40, Jayyid. And the important thing is, Ali was brought up in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he woke up in the morning, whose house was he in? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house. He went to sleep, whose house is he in? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house. Why? Because you remember earlier on in the history of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after his father passed away before he was born. And then when he was born, he went to Halima al-Sa'diyya. After that, she gave him back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mother, Amina. And then she passed away at what age? She passed away when he was at the age of 6. Then he went to his grandfather. Grandfather passed away at the age of 8. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with his uncle Abu Talib, Ali's father. So Ali's father looked after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Later on in history, when Abu Talib had so many children and he couldn't manage looking after all of them, so Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repaid like his debt, and now he looked after Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Fahimtu? And that tells us also that Ali saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam day in and day out, how he worshipped, what he did, what was his character, how he and Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha were praying in the house, etc. Jayyid. And so he was the first male to embrace Islam. His kunya was what? What was his kunya? What's a kunya? Abu something. What was his kunya? Abu Turab, father of the sand. Why was he called father of the sand? Jayyid. What's your name to call? Now. What's your name, Chef? Now, why was he called Abu Turab?
Oh, man, you've caught me out, sorry.
Caught you out. What's your name, Chef?
Fadi.
No. Jayyid, ya Fadi. Jayyid. Why was he called Abu Turab? The call? Excellent, Mumtaz, ya Turab, Mumtaz. Jayyid. So, Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha and Ali, they had a bit of a tiff, Jayyid. They had a small argument. And so, he left the house, he went away. Where's he gone? Where would you find him except in the masjid? Bayt kullu taqi. It's the house of every pious person. Prophet ﷺ comes looking for him. Where's my son-in-law Ali? We have a small issue, he's gone. Where's he gone to? Looked for him, found him in the masjid. Prophet ﷺ saw Ali lying down. down and says to him, Qum ya Aba Turab, stand up, O the father of dust. Because he's got sand on him. Stand up, O the father of dust, because he had that dirt, that sand, etc. on him. And Ali said, that was the most beloved kunya to him after that day. Jayd, he was called Abu Turab, father of the dust, father of the sand. What's your kunya, Jayd? What's your kunya? You don't have a kunya. You're often or something, Jayd. Huh? Why don't you have a kunya? Huh? What name do you like? What's your name? Rais. What name do you like? Huh? You already got a mustache there. When you're ready to get married, inshallah. When you get married and you have a kid, inshallah, let's say you have a son, what would you name him? What name do you like?
Hamza.
Hamza. So you are Abu Hamza from today, inshallah. Jain. When you go home, inshallah, Jain, you go home, inshallah, and you tell your mother that you are Abu, maybe your mother's here, I don't know. Jain. Maybe, so you say to her that you are now Abu Hamza, inshallah. She says, subhanallah, what are these Wahhabis doing to you? What are these corrupting your mind? You left home and you were Ra'is. And you come back and you are Abu Hamza, split personality, what's going on? Mushkila. Jayin, ala kulli hal, you tell her it's sunnah, inshaAllah. Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, said it's mustahab for every Muslim to have a kunya. Even if you've got no kids, even if you're 10 years old, for you to take a kunya, no problem. What's your name, Jayin? Huh? Isa. Jayin, Isa, what name do you like? Choose a name quickly. Huh? Maryam. Jayin, so you are Abu Maryam, inshallah. Jayin Maryam. Isa's name is Abu Maryam, inshallah. Excellent. Jayin, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a small boy, the brother of Anas, by the name of Umair. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him playing with a small bird in his hand, died. Jayin, it was a nightingale, as many scholars said. So the bird died. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to a small boy playing with him, says, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala Nughair? Oh, the father of Umair, what happened to your Nughair? What happened to your bird? Point of proof is, oh, the father of Umair, 7-year-old boy, you think he's got kids? No, he had no children. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him the father of Umair. So even though you've got no kids, you can have a kunya, it's no problem at all. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, Ya Rasulullah, all your other wives, Salama, Habiba, this, that, I got no children, what's my kunya? It was a sign of respect amongst the Arabs that you do not call a person by their first name. You don't say, Sulaiman, Ahmed, Ilyas, come here, no. But rather you say, Abu Muhammad, Abu Sulaiman, Abu Ahmed, etc. You address them by their kunya, Jayid. And many a times this helps also. Sometimes you get married, Jayid, and you know, you don't know what to call your father-in-law now. What do you call your father-in-law? Jayid, the talk, what do you call your father-in-law? Abu, just Abu. Okay, Jayid. But now the father says, I mean, I'm your Abu. I'm your father. I mean, suddenly you get married to this female, suddenly you adopt a father now. Jayid. He becomes your father, or in English, you know, you find the brother, he starts calling his father-in-law daddy. Jayid, daddy, dad. It's much easier if that father-in-law had a kunya, if he was known as Abu Ibrahim, now you get married to his daughter, khalas, you call him Abu Ibrahim, makes your life easy. Some brothers say, I only got one dad. I can't call you dad, it's a bit too tough, Jayid. So that was a benefit. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to her that your sister has a son by the name of Abdullah. Your sister Asma has a son by the name of Abdullah. And so the mother sister is like the mother. Yes or no? Mother sister is like the mother. And so you from today, O Aisha, you are Abdullah. You are the mother of Abdullah. And so she had a kunya. She had no children. So whether you have kids or not, take a kunya, inshallah. Imam al-Nawawi states it's mustahab. Hayyakumullah. So his kunya was Abu Turab. He also had a kunya Abu al-Hasan. Why Abu al-Hasan? Because his eldest son's name was Hassan. He's also called Abu Sibtain, the father of the two grandchildren of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hassan and Hussein. So he's called Abu Sibtain. Jayin, that was his kunya. He also had titles. What was his titles? Anyone? Ali, a title given to Ali radiallahu ta'ala was what? Lion. In Arabic. Jayin, also called Asad Jayin. Excellent. What else? Jayin. And that's why some scholars stated that Ali's mother, her name was Fatima bint Asad. You with me? Ali's mother's name was Fatima bint Asad. So when Ali was born, she named him Asad. And later on, Abu Talib came along and said, what's his name? You called him Asad? No, his name is Ali. Jayid. But he was originally named Asad, which is a lion. And that's why in battle, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu would come with these lines of like poetry. أنا الذي سمتني أمي هيدر. هيدر. Jayid. هيدر means a lion too. Jayid. For the lion, you have many, many names in the Arabic language. Anything great, يوم القيامة, has many, many names. يوم القيامة, يوم التغابن, etc. Because if something's great, they give it many names. Lion is great, it has many names. So he's called Haydar. He's also called Asad. He's also called Murtada. Jayid. Abu al-Hasan al-Nadwi. He has a fantastic book, which has been translated in English, I think, called Al-Murtada, the chosen one, or the one who Allah is pleased with, or the one the Prophet ﷺ is pleased with, and that's Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So he's called Asad, Lion, Murtada, and also Haydar, Jayyid. So in battle you would say, أنا الذي سمتني أمي Haydar. I am the one who my mother named me a lion, Jayyid. He fought in every single battle with the Prophet ﷺ. What else do you know about Ali? Those under 10, what do you know about Ali? The call, Isa. What do you know about Ali? He got married to whom? The call, help him out, phone a friend. Now, what do you know about Ali? Now, what do you know about Ali?
Tell me something about Ali at all.
The man next to him? Huh? Starts with an A, excellent, mashallah. The call, what's your name, Chef? Huh? Malik, what do you know about Ali? He was A? He was a lawyer.
Warrior.
Now, he was a warrior. Jayyid. Khair, inshallah. Hayyakum Allah. He was from amongst the 10 who were granted paradise. Come on now, Isa. You know that. You knew that. The 10 who were granted paradise. Prophet ﷺ said, this one's in paradise. That one, that one, that one. Ali's name was also there. He was a sahabi. Yes or no, Malik? He was a sahabi. So, why are you keeping it secret? Jayyid. Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah. Imam Ahmed said, that's... there's no other companion, this is important, there's no other companion Sahabi, be it Abu Bakr or Umar or anyone, who has more ahadith narrated about their virtue than Ali radiallahu ta'ala. If you want to total up the number of ahadith about Ali, and about the virtue of Ali, and about the lofty status of Ali, the most number of ahadith you have about any Sahabi is about whom? Is about Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Jayyid, numerous ahadith about his virtue. Side note, doesn't mean that he's the best of the Sahaba, no. I might talk, for example, 1 hour about how great Sadiq is. I'll speak about the the virtues of Sadiq, and Sadiq's such a good brother, and mashallah, Sadiq's hairstyle is beautiful, and he's had to so much. I'll talk so much, 1 hour about Sadiq. And then in one sentence, I could say that Ra'is is the best brother in this center. Who's better? Who's on a higher level? Ra'is, one sentence about him. But if you want to total the number of statements about Sadiq, they are more. That's like Ali. Ali has numerous ahadith about him, but still on the scales, who's on a higher level? Abu Bakr. One statement would suffice about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha. Jayyid. He got married to Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Malik, tell me, who was Fatima? Excellent, Jamali, daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jayyid. And then after Fatima passed away, Jayyid, Ali got married again, and he married again, and he married many, many times, Jayyid. And how many sons did he have? Many a biographer states, Ali had 21 sons. SubhanAllah, Jayyid, 21 sons. And this is important. SubhanAllah, this one here gives, causes a massive ulcer for any Shia, SubhanAllah. What is it? Ali had a son by the name of Abu Bakr. He had a son by the name of Umar. And he had a son by the name of Uthman. And many of them, or all of them, died where? They died at Karbala. You know Hussein was killed at Karbala? Well, Abu Bakr, the son of Ali, also killed at Karbala. But we don't hear about that. Even the Shia, subhanAllah, he's in a Husayniyat, which is like their masajid, etc. On the day of Muharram, etc. When they're talking about Karbala, etc. I mean, if the Sheikh or the Mulana or whoever would mention, and Hussein was killed, and Hussein was the son of Ali, and he was killed, and next to him was the other son of Ali by the name of Abu Bakr. There's going to be a bit of a problem. How did the masjid walk out?
He said, what's going on here? Then why are we fighting? I mean, really? I mean, Ali had a son by the name of Abu Bakr? Ali had a son by the name of Umar? Ali had a son by the name of Uthman? Mushkila. That's a mushkila. That's a problem for many of the Shia. Jayyid. And he also had 18 daughters, Jayyid. From amongst his daughters, another Alsa, he had a daughter by the name of Kulthum. He named his daughter after the daughter of who? After the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Excellent. And who got married to Kulthum? Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Jayyid, subhanAllah. So Ali was the father-in-law of Umar, subhanAllah, Jayyid. Ali was the father-in-law of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Jayyid. And that they caused a problem for the Shia. And that's why some of them said that what happened was a jinn took the form of Kulthum and Umar got married to the jinn. Jayyid, mashaAllah, mashaAllah. Jayyid. No. Jayyid, hayyakumullah. Ali radiallahu ta'ala was the fourth of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. He became the caliph in the year 35 AH. He only ruled for about 4 years something, and then he was killed in Kufa radiallahu ta'ala. He was killed in the year 40 AH by who? By people who were his former supporters, the Khawarij, those who used to help him and fought in battle with him. Then when he wanted to make peace with Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, and he agreed to tahkim, he agreed to the arbitration, etc. They says, no, this Ali has gone off the tracks. Ali is not judging according to the book of Allah. And so eventually Abdurrahman ibn Muljam, may Allah grant him what he deserves, what did he do? He comes into the masjid at the time of Salatul Fajr. He had his sword, he had his dagger poisoned for a few days. I mean, the story is long, we don't have time to go into it. Eventually he had assassinated Ali radiallahu ta'ala, ya mashayikh. So A was for the Ahlul Bayt. A was also for Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Jayyid. B is for what? B is for Banu Hashim, insha'Allah. The grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name was Hashim. I mean, he was called Hashim, but his original name was Amr. But because he used to provide food and drink to the people of Makkah when they come for Hajj, to the people, the Hajjis, etc. The Hashim means to grind the bread and to break it down and provide food, etc. And so they began calling him Hashim. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inna Allah astafa Kinana min walad Ismail. Allah chose Kinana, the tribe of Kinana, from the children of Ismail. Wastafa Qurayshan min Kinana. And then he chose the Quraysh from Kinana. Wastafa min Quraysh Bani Hashim. And then from the Quraysh, Allah chose Istafa. Mustafa means choose, Jayyid. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose Banu Hashim. And from Banu Hashim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith reported by Imam Muslim. So this was the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or rather, great grandfather, not grandfather. Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim. Jayyid. C is for what? C is for what, ya Mashaykh? Brothers are so far, subhanAllah. You know, to see you guys, I need to shorten my prayers. Jayyid. Father, ya Mashaykh. C is for? C is for the city of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Medina al-Munawwara, or Medina al-Nabawiyya, subhanAllah. And we ask Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to take us back to Medina al-Munawwara many, many times, inshaAllah. Jayyid. Many of the Hajis, Dr. Farooq and Ismail Davids, etc., you guys, mashaAllah, Allah has blessed you people that you go every single year. Alhamdulillah. Hayyakum Allah. Jayyid. Medina al-Munawwara, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, city. We know numerous ahadith about the barakah of Medina al-Munawwara. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they left Makkah and they came to Medina, they got ill, they fell ill, they got sick, Jayyid. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, oh Allah, the barakah that you gave to Makkah, etc., you like double increase the barakah here for Medina al-Munawwara. And people up till today, they say, subhanAllah, a man works in Jeddah, he earns $7,000, 7,000 riyals, and he earns in Medina 5,000 riyals, but that 5,000 in Medina al-Munawwara takes him for a longer period of time. There's more barakah in it, subhanAllah, Jayyid. Many a person states that. Obviously they would say that because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Amin, the trustworthy one, he said that. And it's the place of the Ansar, the helpers. You have the Aus and you had the Khazraj, the two tribes. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joined them with what? What was the glue we joined them? La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah was the glue we joined them. Excellent.
Also in Medina al-Munawwara we have Masjid al-Nabawi. Praying in Masjid al-Nabawi is better than how many prayers anywhere else except Mecca. 1,000. Who said that? Doctor, tafadhal ya doctor. Jayyid. 1,000 prayers. Excellent. It's equal to 1,000 or it's better than 1,000? Praying here and praying in Masjid al-Nabawi. Masjid al-Nabawi is better than praying here 1,000 or more than 1,000? Doctor, you're lucky, I'll take it back. Now, better than 1,000. So we don't know the number. It could be 2,000, could be 3,000, could be 50,000. Jayyid. Makkah is 100,000. Jayyid. Medina could be 50,000, 70,000. Allahu A'lam. But it's more than 1,000. Jayyid. Excellent, mashallah. Also in Medina we have what? The graveyard, Jannatul Baqi, subhanAllah. How many of the Ahlul Bayt are buried there? Imam Malik buried in Medina al-Munawwara. And how many a Sahabi, how many a great scholar? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Umar used to make dua, O Allah, grant me the death of a martyr and let me die in Medina al-Munawwara. And he got both. The people said to him, Umar, I mean, how can you die as a martyr in Medina? There's no battles here. The battles are in the front line with the Romans and the Persians. How can you make dua for that here? But he made dua and his dua was accepted. Subhanallah. Radiallahu ta'ala. Jayyid. C is also, ya Mashaykh, for children. Who are the children of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Someone in the back there. Jayyid, ya Mashaykh. Anyone there? The children of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many children did he have, by the way? Yes, what's your name, Sheikh? Hussein. Excellent, ya Hussein, mashaAllah. Side note. When we Sunnis name our children Hussein or Hassan or Fatima, I mean, these are names we'll name. Abu Bakr, we'll name Hassan, Hussein. We don't have any Shia connotation to it in any way. Yes or no? We have no issue with naming names like that. Whereas with the Shia, a different story. I mean, if your name is Abu Bakr and you in Iran, that's a mushkila, Jayyid. Your name is Umar in Iran, mushkila, Jayyid. I mean, doctor here from Iraq will tell you how many Iraqis, you know, to get government jobs, etc., they might have named their children Saddam. Right? After the fall of the government, all lined up to change names now. Hayyakumullah, Hussein, faddal. How many children did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have? Seven. Excellent, ya Hussein. Jayyid. So, we'll give you the chocolate, inshallah. Jayyid. Thank the person who gave you the answer. Excellent. Jayyid. Hussein. Hussein. And the names now. The names. Give me some of the children of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Stand up, Hussein. Can't see you. Some of the names. He had a son by the name of Abdullah. From which wife? From Khadija. Excellent. Another one. Yes, no problem. Fatima. We got two so far. Excellent. Happy Ma, what a friend. Fadal. We got Abdullah, we got Fatima. Another daughter? Excellent. Zainab. Jayyid. Next one. We got three so far. Om Kulthum. Excellent. Almost there. Three more to go. Om Kulthum. Yes. Ruqayya. Excellent. MashaAllah. Jayyid. And two more. The first son that the Prophet had was? Qasim. Excellent. And the last son to pass away? Ibrahim. Excellent. MashaAllah. Jayyid. Hayyakumullah. Doctor Hussein, this is for you. You can share it with those 20 people who have you. Can we throw it? Allah. Hayyakumullah. Jayyid, doctor. So let's see. Number one, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a son by the name of Qasim. Qasim passed away very, very young. From who? From Khadija. After that, some scholars, if you want to call it the sons, he had the son by the name of Abdullah. He also had the first daughter, her name was Zainab. Then he had Ruqayya. Then there's a debate, Umm Kulthum first or Fatima? Let's go with Umm Kulthum. Jayyid, Umm Kulthum, and then he had Fatima. And lastly, he had the son by the name of Ibrahim. So again, three sons, Qasim, Abdullah, Ibrahim. You got that? Qasim, Abdullah, Ibrahim. Daughters, Zainab, Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum, and Fatima. Jayyid, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Excellent. Those were the children of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mashayikh. Every single one of the children of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away during his lifetime, except Fatima. She passed away 5 or 6 months after him. Every single one. Imagine, subhanAllah. I mean, people do and say about him whatever they say because they don't know him. He goes and fights in the battle of Badr. What's his age? We forget that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made his hijrah. What was his age? 20, 25? He made the hijrah when he was 53 years old. Yes or no? Moved from Makkah to Medina in the cave, etc. 53 years old. And then he comes to Medina al-Munawwara. Eventually 2 years later, battle of Badr. He's 55 years old. Once he returns from the battle of Badr, what news does he get? His daughter Ruqayya, the wife of Uthman, she passed away. You get this great victory, and then he gets the news, daughter passed away. Soon after this, another daughter passes away. Uncle Thawm and Zaynab passes away. And his sons, one after the other, Asim and Abdullah pass away. And Ibrahim also, what was his age? About 16, 17 months. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit him and hug him and carry him, etc. Maybe this son here would live. And what was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's age when he had that son, by the way? Ibrahim passed away in Dhul Hijjah, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, around the time of his final Hajj. So he did that Hajj when he was in his 60s, yes or no? Yes, he passed away a few months after that. 100% Ibrahim passed away while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his 60s, subhanAllah. Old man, subhanAllah. And the son also passes away. And he cries in tears. And then he says, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ لَتَدْمَعْ وَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ لَيَحْزَنْ وَمَا نَقُلْ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا وَإِنَّا بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمْ لَمَحْزُونُونَ. That's verily the eye tears and the heart is saddened. But we only say what's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily, O Ibrahim, by your passing away, we are very, very saddened. Every single one of his children passed away except Fatima, and she passed away soon after him. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَشَدُ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَا ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. You think you got tough times? The people who go through the greatest trials and tribulations are the Anbiya, and then the people closest and closest to them. The higher iman and taqwa you have, the more trials and tribulations you're going to go through, subhanAllah. And that's the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. That was A, B and C. C was for the city of Medina. C was also for the children of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. D is for what, Ya Mashayikh? D is for? D, anyone? D is for daughters, but we already covered it when we spoke about children, Ya Dr. Malik, Ahmed Musallam, Jayyid. D is for durood upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, upon him Muhammad and upon his family sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jayyid. Durood Ibrahim in our salah we mentioned. Side note. The Hanafis, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, all of the opinion that you send this durood in your salah, it's recommended. It is sunnah according to majority of the scholars. The Hanbali scholars, some of them said it's wajib and some of them said it's sunnah. And from the Hanbali scholars, for example, you have Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, Jayyid, Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. He was of the opinion that it is wajib to send durood upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your salah. Why mentioning this? Because you know, you hear people saying, oh, these people, Wahhabis, whatever. You know, they don't like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they don't send salawat upon him and nonsense like that. The Hanafi say it's sunnah. The Maliki said sunnah. Shafi'i said sunnah. Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab said it is wajib that you must send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your salah. Otherwise there's no salah. Otherwise your salah is not accepted, subhanAllah. Another time we said salawat is when, Ya Mashaykh? After the adhan. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Then you make your dua. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever does so, then this person will get my intercession on Yawm al-Qiyamah. When else do we do it? The khatib, when he's giving the khutbah on the day of Friday, from amongst the ingredients of the khutbah, you must send salawat upon Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. When you're making dua, we have certain narrations that your dua is like suspended. It's not, won't reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until when? Until in your dua, you must send salawat upon Muhammad and the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the day of Friday, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, increase your durood upon me on the day of Friday. Jay, when we enter the masjid, what do we say? Bismillah wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulillah. Bismillah wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulillah, upon the Messenger of Allah, when we enter the masjid. So we say that when we enter the masjid also. And many, many other places and many other times, generally at all times. Jayyid. Hayyakumullah. D is also for the day of Ashura. What's the day of Ashura? Dealing with the Ahlul Bayt. What's the date of the day of Ashura? Anyone? 10th of Muharram. Excellent, Jayid. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have three groups. Ahlul Sunnah in the middle. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to Medina al-Munawwarah. He finds the Jews fasting. And he asks them, why are you people fasting? And they say, because Musa alayhi salam was saved on this day. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that verily we have more right to Musa alayhi salam than you people. And so he ordered the Muslims to fast on that day. That's why we do so. Then later on in history, on the same date, Hussein radiallahu ta'ala in Karbala, he was slaughtered, he was massacred, Jayid. And so there was a tragic event. But it was coincidental that it happened on that date. When the Shia, for example, this date here is a date that they take, you know, it's like a funeral, subhanAllah. They will not drink water on this day. Why? Because Hussein in some narrations he was thirsty, so we will also be thirsty. And they would beat themselves. Why? Because they were unable to help Hussein, Jayid. You were born, yes, in 2010, but nonetheless, you were unable to help Hussein, so we will beat ourselves, etc. And some of them will kill themselves too. Allah Mustaan, we're black, and it's a day of extreme sadness, etc., because Hussein was martyred on that day. So they go into that extreme. And the Sunnah in the middle, and we mentioned the reason. And on the other side, you have from the Nawasib, etc. And this crept into some of Sunni tradition. Because we saw what the Shia were doing. They turned it into a day of sadness. So you had some Sunnis, etc. saying, some of you might be accustomed to this, you might have heard of this, on the day of 10th of Muharram, you know, you must make a nice meal in the house, and whoever spends on his family, then you know you'll get barakah and goodness, etc. And so they make extra food in the house, etc. Heard of stuff like this? Heard of stuff like this? No. Yes. Allah is fine. You guys left your country too long ago, that's it. Jayid, Hayyakumullah. Jayid. Excellent. So on one side the Shia took it as a day of sadness, and on the other side the Nawasib, they took it as a day of merrymaking. If the Shia are not eating, we're going to eat extra. You got that? Two extremes. Whereas Ahlul Sunnah in the middle, we took it as a day of fasting because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said so. Jayid. So that was D was for Durur and D was for the day of Ashura. Jayid. E is for Jamshayid. E is for enmity, and we already mentioned the Nawasib, those who have the enmity and hatred against the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take note, Ibrahim al-Nafa'i, one of the great scholars, he said, because those who slaughtered Hussein, were they Muslim or not? Yes, they were Muslim, bad Muslims. He says that, if I was from amongst those who killed Hussein, and if I entered into paradise later on, he says, how could I ever meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and show him my face? Imagine if you were the killer of Ali. How could you meet up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah and show your face to him, subhanAllah? The enmity that these people had against the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahu musta'an. Jayid. The letter F, Dukur Isa. F is for what? I know your name, so I have to pick on you now. Mushkila, problem. Hussein, F is for what? Who was the mother of Hussein? The mother of Hussein, Fatima, excellent. Jay, what do you know about Fatima, the Doctor Hussein? Her father was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So imagine the tarbiyah. Khadija passed away. Jay, take note. Khadija passed away, and so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked after Fatima, etc. Jayid, she was the wife of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. She's the mother of Hassan and Hussein. She's from amongst the best women who walked the face of this earth. Any brother here? Who were the four best women who walked the face of this earth? Asya and Fatima and Khadija and Maryam. Excellent. The two important ones, look at mother and daughter, Khadija and Fatima, mother and daughter. And then you got Maryam, and you got Maryam, the mother of Isa, and Asya, the wife of? The wife of Fir'aun, Jayyid. So she was the from amongst the best women who walked the face of this earth. She was born about 5 years before prophethood. She was born around the time that they were rebuilding the Kaaba. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those people were debating how and who's going to put the black stone. And then they said the next man who walks in, who walked in? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so he gave them the idea to do what? Jay, what idea did he give them? Put it on something, and then each of the tribal leaders, etc., each one of you carries one portion. Each one of you carries one portion, and he was the one who placed it in its place, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was born around that time. After the battle of Badr, she got married to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And there's some narrations in the Tabaqat of Ibn Sa'd. Abu Bakr proposed, wasn't accepted. Umar proposed, wasn't accepted. And then they said to Ali, why don't you propose? And so he proposed. Technically, he got married to his cousin's daughter. Yes or no? He and the Prophet ﷺ were cousins, and he got married to his cousin's daughter. Excellent. And they had children, Hassan, Hussein, who else? See how much we know about the Ahlul Bayt? Mushkila, mushkila. Hassan, Hussein, who else they had? They had a daughter by the name of? Come on, we mentioned Umm Kulthum was married to Umar, yes or no? We're sleeping that time, isn't it? Now, so Umm Kulthum, Jayid, so Hassan, Hussein, Umm Kulthum, they had a daughter by the name of Zainab, and they also had a son by the name of Muhsin, or Muhassin, and he passed away very, very young. On a side note, we have a narration in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, but it has some weakness in it. When Hassan was born, they named Hassan what? Harb. What does Harb mean? War. I mean, the Arabs, they would name these fierce names. Because you go out in battle, they say, who did the Muslims send forward? They sent battle forward. They sent lion forward. They sent harb forward. You know, people are afraid because everybody has a share of their name. Yes or no? I mean, imagine if you named the person, you know, Daffodil. Sending rose forward, nightingale. If they are class, we're killing, no problem. So they named Hassan, they named him what? They named him Harb. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and asked, what have you named my son? They said, we named him Harb. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, his name is Hassan. And so they named him Hassan. And later on, when they had a son by the name of Hussein, what did they name him? They named him Harb. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, his name is Hussein. Later on, they had a son. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, what did you name my son? They said, we named him Harb. He says, no, his name is Muhsin or Muhassin. This hadith, as beautiful as it sounds, has weakness in it. One reason for the weakness is, come on, think about it. You think if Fatima and Ali knew that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not like this name, you think they're going to repeat it every time? No, they wouldn't. Jayid, hayyakumullah. Jayid. And so Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Fatima, bada'atu minni. Yuribuni ma rabaha wa yudhini ma adaha. Fatima is a part of me. Whatever hurts her, hurts me. Whatever puts her to distress, also distresses me. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she passed away 5 or 6 months after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was her age? Some narrations, she was around 24, some narrations 25. Take note. When it comes to matters of age, amongst the Sahaba, Tabi'een, etc., they were not a people who kept ID books, etc. And that's why you have a great debate with regards to the actual dates, right? The actual age, etc. You know, it's debatable matters. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. She passed away in the month of Ramadan. What happened? She was ill and she passed away. For about 6 months she was ill after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And then she passed away. And he foretold this because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something to her in her ear which made her smile. What did he tell her? He says to her that you will be the first of my family members to be reunited with me. So she knew she's going to pass away early. Side note. This is what we say. As for the Shia, what do they state? They state that Abu Bakr and Umar and a few other of the Sahaba came, they got together, and they wanted to burst into the house of Fatima until eventually she tried to hold the door, and they took the door and they started to bang it on her, and she was pregnant, and they made her have a miscarriage. Then Muhsin or Muhassin, that's when she had a miscarriage, and the nails of the door penetrated her body, and that's how she passed away. That's why the Shia state, you would find Fatima the Shahida, Fatima the Martyr, Fatima Mazlumiya, the one who was oppressed. Oppressed by who? Oppressed by Abu Bakr and Umar, etc. This morning, in a flight, just checking something on Fitna book, Jayid. And so there was a picture, a video, of 5-year-old and 6-year-old kids in the UK. They have it on the board behind them. You all know Yasir al-Khabith. And so they have this thing there. Aisha is in the fire. Aisha finna. Kids, they're singing their lullaby, 7-8 years old, and they're all screaming, Aisha finna, Aisha finna, Allah musta'an. This type of stuff, what I just mentioned, you people, many of you have never ever heard of this. Most Sunnis, we don't even talk about this. And that's the right way. We shouldn't talk about this. We shouldn't talk about stuff like this. But it's only when they start doing whatever they're doing and start spreading whatever they spread, then we have to talk about these matters. We won't talk about, you know, maybe there were issues between Sahaba. Yes, all people differ. I might not like this brother's hair. You might not like the way I speak. This person's hat, I might not like. Doesn't mean I would take off my dad and start killing people, etc. Yes or no? Yes, we would differ. Right? We'll continue to differ. And so it's only when they start saying whatever, then we have to discuss these matters along this time. But it just gives you an indication. If you really believe that Abu Bakr and Umar really did that, obviously you'll hate them. Yes or no? Yes. And so that's why, from amongst the reasons, that's why they hate Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala along this time. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Side note. Where was Ali? Ali, the lion of Allah, sitting nicely and quiet. SubhanAllah. Technically, when you say that about Abu Bakr and Umar, you also slander Ali. Because we and everyone says Ali was a lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would never allow such matters to occur to his family and just sit back. And what does he do? Ali says, oh Umar subhanAllah, in fact I want to reward you. What's the reward? I want you to marry my daughter too. Does that make sense? And then what else? He names his son Abu Bakr Umar and one son Uthman. SubhanAllah. Their version of history makes no sense. A good book by Abu Hassan al-Nadwi entitled Two Portraits of History. Two Portraits of History. Where he says our version of history is something and it makes sense. And the reality on the ground today that Islam still survived, that we have the Quran, etc. means that everything was in order. Jayib. Whereas their version, according to their version, we should not be Muslims today. The whole Quran, Sunnah, everything should have been wiped out long time ago. Hayyakumullah inshaAllah. F is also for Fadak. What is Fadak? Fadak was a piece of land that the Shia make a big issue about. Fadak is this piece of land that they claim that when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, Fatima came to Abu Bakr and she says, I want my inheritance. My portion of that land. And Abu Bakr said to her, no, there's no land for you, there's no inheritance for you. Why? Because the Anbiya do not leave behind inheritance. What's their inheritance? Knowledge. They spread knowledge. The ulama warathatul anbiya. The ulama are the inheritors of the Anbiya. That's their inheritance. As for the land and stuff, I mean, we can't distribute anything. That all goes back to the Baitul Mal, etc. So they say that this was the land which was denied to Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha by Abu Bakr and Umar, etc. How do we answer this, Ya Shaykh? Anyone? How do you answer this? There's like these three trinity masail. One is the issue of the oppression upon Fatima, and included in it is this matter of inheritance. Then there's the imama, which is the that supposedly Prophet ﷺ said after me, Ali is the leader, etc. These are like the super important issues with regards to the Shia. Anyone, how do we answer this issue of inheritance? Anyone? What would you say? Probably
they're fairly close enough. They're exempt from sadaqah.
Sorry?
They're exempt from sadaqah.
Who's exempt? So, she wants her inheritance. Inheritance, not sadaqah. Inheritance.
That's my one.
Anyone else? Probably. Time up. Then? What's up? You have an answer? Then? What's wrong? Time up. You just stop. What's wrong, buddy? There's only 15 minutes left. I thought this is Shabab, youth. I'm the one who traveled from Melbourne to Brisbane and flew here. And yeah, I'm shy for long. Hayyakumullah. Number one, we say, her father, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that the Anbiya did not leave behind inheritance. So Abu Bakr was following the words of her father when he denied her the inheritance. It does not harm Abu Bakr, if Allah is pleased with him, and maybe Fatima might be angry. Allah is pleased with Abu Bakr, it doesn't harm him if Fatima was a bit angry, etc. Excellent. Number two, we say when Abu Bakr denied Fatima her inheritance, he also denied his own daughter, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, because she was a wife and she would have inherited. And he also denied Umar's daughter by the name of Hafsa. She would also have inherited. Yes or no? So when he denied Fatima, he also denied his own daughters. And also denied Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, because he would have inherited too. Jayid. So these are some very... Also, the fact that Fatima comes to Abu Bakr, she didn't go to Ali. You know, so shows us she knew who the caliph was. On a side note, she went to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Jayid. G is for what, Ya Mashayikh? G is for? غدير خم. G is for غدير خم. This is a place outside Medina al-Munawwara, where the Prophet ﷺ, after his Hajj, he had 120 something thousand Hajjis. Then after Hajj, they all went back to the areas where they came from, Yemen or Iraq or wherever they might have come from, etc. And the Prophet ﷺ was on his way to Medina al-Munawwara. And then near this place, or at this place, غدير خم, Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَى فَعَلِيُّ الْمَوْلَى. Whoever that I am a protector over, then Ali is also a protector over this person. So he said this there, and so the Shia said, no, what he meant by whoever he is a protector over, then Ali is a protector over that person, it means that he was trying to say that when I die, Ali is the next caliph. Jayid? So we Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say number one, did he say when I die Ali is the leader? No, he didn't. Number one. So it's your assumption. Number two. Number three, why did he not say anything during Hajj when all the people were there at Arafat? That was the place to make an announcement like that. Not only when you got the few people of Medina and you're going back there to Medina al-Munawwara. But this occurred on the 18th of the Hijjah. So after Hajj, Prophet ﷺ is going back to Medina. It happened on the 18th of the Hijjah. And the Shia, they celebrate this day called Eid Ghadir Khum. Every year on the 18th of the Hijjah, they have the celebration called Eid Ghadir Khum. Now this issue has ramifications. Why? It means that supposedly the Prophet ﷺ said like, you know, Ali is the leader after me. And the Sahaba disregarded this. Yes or no? Was he the leader eventually? Did he make him the leader after the Prophet ﷺ? No, he wasn't. So it means that Abu Bakr and Umar disregarded the words of the Prophet ﷺ. It means that all the Sahaba got together against Ali radiallahu ta'ala. It means that technically, if they could not be trustworthy to do such a thing, how can we trust in the Quran which they sent down? How can we trust in this religion which was sent down? You get that? And that's why you need divinely appointed imams to come and give us the true religion. Because the Sahaba messed it all up. Jayid, did you understand that? Jayid, hayyakum Allah. So that was G. G was for غدير خم. H is for the house of the Prophet ﷺ. You all know when he came to Medina al-Munawwara, they built the masjid. How many wives did he have at that time? He had two wives, Aisha and Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then when they came to Medina al-Munawwara, he had sent who to get them? Who did he send to get them? He sent Abu Rafi, his servant, and he sent Zayd. You go and meet my family. I made the hijrah now, but Aisha is still there, and Sauda is still there. You bring them to Medina al-Munawwara. So next to the masjid on the eastern side, they had a house there for Aisha, and he had a house there for Sauda. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala says, many years later, subhanallah, he entered into one of the houses of the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, mothers of the believers. He said that size of the house, and if you put up your hand, you could touch the roof. And if you had to put your hands out on the sides, you could almost touch the sides, subhanallah. The best man who walked the face of this earth, that was his house. You all know that famous hadith when Umar entered into the house of the Prophet ﷺ. He looked around and he saw the marks on the back of the Prophet ﷺ. He says, Ya Rasulullah, look at the Persians and the Romans. They have everything, the pomp and the fashion and all this wealth. And they don't worship Allah and we worship Allah. You make dua to Allah that Allah gives us like how He gave them. Prophet ﷺ said, Oh Umar, are you not happy that for them is this world and for us is the hereafter? Subhanallah. And so Umar radiallahu ta'ala was tearing and he says, I am happy with that. For them is this world and for us is the hereafter. Al-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. This world here, it is the jail, it's the prison of the believer, and it is the jannah of the disbeliever. It's the prison for the believer and the jannah of the disbeliever. Allah musta'an. Side note, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, and someone came up to him, a Jew. And this Jew was paying the jizya, he was living there. And Hassan was very, very handsome. Oh, that's what we come to next. Now, H is for Hassan. Jayid? H is for Hassan. Fareed, you just tell me when to stop. Jayid? H was for Hassan. What do we know about Hassan? Hussein, tell me about Hassan. Any Hassan here, Ya Mashaykh? Anyone's name Hassan here? No Hassan. Allah Hussein. Any Hafiz al-Quran here, by the way? No Hafiz al-Quran. Mushkila. Dr. Farooq, you've got a job to do, yeah? You need to make some hafaz, yeah? Jayid, I made a mistake in Salatul Isha, first rak'ah, not a single hafiz. Yalla ya mashaykh, we need to memorize Quran. I know you might be Ahlul Hadith, but Ahlul Quran comes first. Jayid, yalla. Hussein, what can you tell us about Hassan? Brother of Hussein, mashallah, we won't give you a chocolate for that one. Jayid, what else can you tell us? Elder brother of Hussein, okay, what else? Huh? His mother was Fatima, his father was Ali, okay. He resembled the Prophet ﷺ the most of all of the Sahaba. Nobody resembled the Prophet ﷺ as much as Hassan. And you know what Aisha radiallahu anha has said about that. The handsomeness of the Prophet ﷺ, the people talked about Yusuf, but they never saw the Messenger ﷺ. And so, Hassan was very, very handsome. He was also the Khalifa, yes or no? After his father passed away, after Ali passed away, for 6 months, Hassan was the Khalifa of the Muslims, Jayid. And in the biography of Hassan, it's mentioned Ibn Kathir states he married many, 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 many times, Jayid. Hassan married many times, Jayid. He was very handsome, he was very rich, Jayid. Nobody forced anyone to get married to him, but people were willing, alhamdulillah, maybe, you know, people say, maybe I'm the one, maybe I will have a kid, maybe, you know, the kid would be from the Ahlul Bayt, etc. Very swaddled and sharaf for them, excellent. Now, a Jew had said to him, "Oh Hassan, how come your grandfather said that this world is the prison for the believer and it is the Jannah of the disbeliever? Look at me. I'm here, I'm poor, and I pay the jizya, and I don't have money, and look at you. You have so much of money, and you are so handsome, and you got this and that and all of that." Hassan was a man of wisdom, like his father and like his grandfather. What did he say? He said that, in relation to what awaits me in the hereafter, what awaits us in the hereafter, right now we are in our prison. And in relation to what awaits you in your hereafter, you are in your paradise. SubhanAllah. In relation to what, I mean, I might be having it easy, but what I have upstairs is better. So this is my prison in comparison to that. And you, what you have is your Jannah in comparison to the hereafter. Someone said to him, "Oh Hassan, you give to everybody. All the beggars, you just give people all the time. You don't check whether the man is deserving or not." So what did he say? He says that, "I'm a beggar before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want Allah to give me. And so why should I not give to this person?" Mufti Taqi Uthmani, great scholar, the vice president of the Islamic Fiqh Academy, he mentions once he was with his father, the former Grand Mufti of Pakistan. He says, "We were in the car, and my father, you know, gave some charity to someone. Some beggar came, they gave some money. And so I said to my father, 'You know, you don't know whether the man was deserving or not. You don't know who's a genuine, you know, true beggar, etc.' And he says, my father said some words, you know, you should write them down with gold, subhanAllah. He says, my father said that you talk about deserving. He says, if Allah had to judge me by the same yardstick of whether I'm deserving or not, would I have whatever I have? Was I deserving of whatever I have? I have a nice car, I have a nice family, I have a nice house, I have a nice business, I have good health, etc. Was I deserving of that? Morning to night making sins, etc. Was I deserving of all of this? No, mercy of Allah He gave to me. So you want me to use the same yardstick with this beggar for $1, for £1, 1 pence? Come on now, what nonsense is that, subhanAllah? And so he gave to the beggar, and he says, the man's affairs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jayid. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala from amongst the youth of paradise, Sayyida Shabab Ahlil Jannah. His kunya was Abu Muhammad, and he also had a son, and that's why his kunya was Abu Muhammad, and he had a son by the name of Abu Bakr. So he followed his father's footsteps, and he named one of his sons Abu Bakr, walhamdulillah. Jayid. We have the sunnah wa jama'ah, we state that Imam Mahdi will be from the lineage, the progeny of Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. Whereas the Shia state comes from their Imam, I mean, who's obviously born about 700 years ago, 800 years ago, Jayid, is in the cave of Sakura, and he's been there for about 800 years now. Jayid, from the age of 6, he's been in hiding. Jayid, if you go onto YouTube, you find the cave in Sakura, etc. Every single day, thousands and thousands and thousands of Shia, they go there, Oh Imam, come out, oh Imam, the time is up now, we got a nuclear bomb, we got Iran, we got all these countries, etc. Come out now. No Imam is coming out, Jayid. Hayyakum Allah. And that's a made up Imam. That's Imam Mahdi, etc., who they claim is in the cave. That comes from the lineage of Hussein. Take note, side note. The Shia going to extremes with regards to Hussein. Hassan, not so much. Hassan Mushkila. Why? What? Because Hassan gave up the caliphate. When Hassan became the Khalifa after 6 months, what did he do? He says, "Muawiyah, yes, I know yourself and my father had issues and you went to battle and had problems, etc. But you know what? This fighting has gone on too long. I let go of the caliphate and here Muawiyah, you can become the Khalifa and you are the Khalifa and I will live under your caliphate. And so they say, the Shia obviously, that Hassan, you know, he threw in the towel. At least Hussein, he fought and he died as a martyr. That's why Hassan, all the 12 Imams, etc. that they talk about, all come through Hussein. Not through Hassan. Hassan, yes, call him an Imam because he's the son of Ali. But finish, that's all. Stop there. Now all the other Imams come from Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah ta'ala a'lam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam foretold and he said, إِنَّ إِبْنِي هَذَا سَيِّدْ. Verily this son of mine, yes, son, grandson, Jayid. Maybe Allah will use him to join between two warring factions of this ummah. And Hassan did that. The people of Ali, the party of Ali, etc., those who were supporting Ali, and the people who were supporting Muawiyah, when Hassan stepped down, at least the Muslim Ummah was united again in the year 40 AH. It's called Am al-Jama'ah, the year of Jama'ah, the year when the Muslims were reunited once again. H, and how did he pass away? Famous in his biography, he was poisoned. Poisoned by whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But the fingers have been pointed against his former followers. The former followers of Ali. Because when Hassan stepped down, they were like, I mean, how can you do this, Hassan? Your father fought against Muawiyah and you let go of the caliphate. So they have an enmity against him. And so they eventually poisoned him. And there's some narration that supposedly his wife was the one who poisoned him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. H is also for Hussein. And Hussein, his kunya was Abu Abdullah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَحَبَّهُمَا فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهُمَا فَقَدْ أَبْغَضَنِي. Whoever loves both of them, who? Hassan and Hussein, then he loves me. And whoever hates them, then this person hates me. Hadith reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, Jayid. Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala an, during his time, I mean, we've got no time to go into the whole incident of Karbala, but when Yazid took over and he was now the caliph after his father Muawiyah, I mean, there were sahaba around. Why does Yazid become the Khalifa? There's great sahaba around, Ibn Umar, there's Hussein, etc. around. Why does Yazid become a Khalifa? Jayid? And Yazid was not a sahabi or anything like that. Jayid? His biography is not the most rosiest of biographies. But nonetheless, the father Muawiyah puts him in charge and he was the Khalifa. So Hussein, you know, had some issues with this, etc. He went to Makkah. And then from Makkah, the people of Iraq, they said to him, you come here to Kufa, etc. We'll help you and meet this and meet that. Eventually he leaves. And then Yazid, he sent a governor, he put a governor in charge of Kufa. And this was a criminal, Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. And this Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad prevented Hussein from continuing his journey to Kufa. And he says to Hussein that either, you know, you come under my authority, you know, you surrender yourself, etc. You come here to Kufa under my authority, then I will send you and do with you as I wish. I'll send you to Yazid, the Khalifa, or whatever. Hussein says, no, I can never accept this, etc. This is a super summarized matter. And Hussein says, let me go back to Makkah, or let me go to Yazid myself, I'll go and meet Yazid, or let me go to one of the front line where the battle is taking place. Ubaidullah said, no. Ubaidullah was a criminal. He says, no, you first come under my authority. I am the governor of Kufa here. You come here, you bow, I mean, lack of better words, you like bow down to me, and then I'll decide what should happen to you. So Hussein says, absolutely not. And so eventually at Karbala, the battle took place, subhanAllah. It was not really necessarily a battle, but rather it was a slaughter of the family of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. And we saw many of the other sons of Ali were also slaughtered there at Karbala radiallahu ta'ala. Jayyid. H is also for Husayniyah. Husayniyat, we call it Masjid, as for the Shia, the place that they go and worship and whatever, they call it a Husayniyat.